Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
As you just heard from Harris Allen, and we're just getting the word, and it's a full no-trade clause in there. The 324 million, and that comes out to 36 million a year. Again, the deal with the Yankees, 9 years, 324 million, and it's with a full no trade. It's both the biggest guaranteed deal and your average annual value, both record setting. Of course, biggest guaranteed deal and, again, average annual values. Strasburg, his 7-year, $245 million deal with the Nationals, that's $35 million a year. So here, Cole is getting $324 for 9 years, coming out to $36 million per. And now you're talking about the New York Yankees, and you know they're getting into serious October baseball. If Cole is anything close to what he has been the last 2 years, you're talking about right now making the New York Yankees the favorites to win the World Series. Now, that would include having Tanaka healthy. That would include Severino coming back from missing practically all of last year. James Paxton, the last half of the season, was as good as anybody in the game. And, of course, with Cole. So the bottom line, and you know that J-Hap is on the block. Sweeney is with us from San Diego. Sweeney.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
Well, we're doing okay, and I hope you too. Was listening to you and Ed earlier on the program talking about Cole and everything else going on with the winter meetings. How about this deal? Do we know how close the Angels and or Dodgers were in making some kind of a bid on Cole?
I don't yet, but my assumption is, seeing that the Yankees went to 9 years on this deal, that after the Strasburg deal, which was 7 years, everybody knew that you had to go to eight. So I'm just based off of this, which only came down a few minutes ago, I think we're looking at a situation where, okay, if multiple teams are going to eight, is anybody willing to go to nine? And if they are, then he takes the deal, and it looks like the Yankees obviously were willing to go as far as they needed to go in order to make that happen.
You think they're making the right move with all those years?
Well, we'll see. I mean, listen, they never work out for the full term, but I think you're resigned to that fact that if you're getting, I mean, you're not signing this deal because you think he's worth that money at age, 38 or 39. You're signing that deal because you need him right now. And for the next 3, 4, 5 years, whatever it is, whatever that term might be, you're looking at getting the value out of that deal. I think it's the same situation that you saw with Mike Messina or CC Sabathia, who were the other long-term, big-money free agent pitchers that the Yankees signed. And as they turned to the back halves of those, there was still some production. It just wasn't what you saw at the beginning. That's natural. But, the Yankees saw an opportunity here. And I said from the beginning of it, if you look, the names I just mentioned all came in a row. The Yankees, as much as they have, and I know they objected to the word, but they passed on certain guys along the way. When David Cohn was done, they signed Mike Messina. When Mike Messina was done, they signed CC Sabathia. CC Sabathia is done, they now sign Gerrit Cole. moving this link in the chain that is now 25 years covering those three guys. Now you're talking about 30 plus with those four guys at that salary level fronting the rotation. And it doesn't have to be 9 years of value. If it's 4 or 5 years of value, I think you have to expect what's coming on the other side.
And what? He's only 29, right?
Right. And, you know, he's coming into his own. I think the idea is he obviously took things to a different level in Houston. Whatever he unlocked there, is it still able to transfer over here and for how long? And I think the idea of the other thing you look at, Steve, is if, you know, we talked about the idea that geography wasn't going to be a factor. Well, of course he had to say that, because if he said it was, then he's taking Yankee money out of the bidding and it wouldn't have helped his situation. But he, you know, put his money where his mouth is, if that was the reasoning. And I look at the idea of he makes the Yankees instantly better, and look how good they already were. The Angels are an under 500 team. He goes there, he makes them better, but you know, how much better? Into a playoff team, into a World Series contending team? Probably not. More moves to be made there. And I, you know, the Dodgers are obviously right there too. So I think it just came down to the idea of obviously he's going to get the money, and then it was chance to win. And, you know, let me throw something else in there too, Steve. The Yankees, you know, they could have gone down a road when they drafted Gerrit Cole and he chose not to negotiate with them at the time, and immediately after getting drafted decided, I'm going to college. The Yankees never got to make an offer to put him into their system and groom him as a professional at that time. They lost that window and lost that opportunity. But there was no bad-mouthing of Cole, of his camp, or anybody during that time. They actually maintained a relationship with Gerrit Cole along the way while he was in college, and the group that drafted him is still here, so there are people familiar with Cole who are still in the Yankees organization. Damon Oppenheimer, the scouting director who drafted Cole out of high school, obviously didn't sign. He kept up a relationship with Gerrit Cole's father and would check in with him every once in a while. And when he'd see Cole along the way, would stop and say hi. And it was all very cordial. That could have gone down a bad road if the Yankees made any public comments bad-mouthing the fact that they thought they were drafting a player that they could sign and were never then given the opportunity to sign later. They didn't do that. And that, you know, obviously the money is the biggest issue, but I think there's some small part of maintaining a positive relationship along the way and finally getting the guy they thought they had 11 years ago.
We are with Sweeney Murdy, of course, and Sweeney with the winter baseball meetings going on in San Diego, filling in the blanks on the Yankees signing Gerrit Cole, 9 years, $324 million. And you have to figure, if you're going to have leverage in your lifetime, Gerrit Cole had the leverage of a lifetime, because obviously coming off two spectacular seasons, still under 30, coming from
and the postseason, yeah, having that sort of impact and the ability to, you know, take a team that's already good and make them better, and that's what the Astros saw. That's what everybody else saw here, and there were only a few teams that could play in this when you're talking about the combination of being able to offer money and the chance to win. And you know, it's not often the Yankees target somebody with the full force that they have here and don't end up with the player. It happened with Cliff Lee. They offered more money for Cliff Lee. Cliff Lee in the end decided Philadelphia was a place that he would rather have played than New York and chose to sign there. And, you know, again, not often that it happens, but that case was out there, and kind of using that as a cautionary tale, kind of waiting to see if the same thing would happen here. They move their offer up, and everything about Gerrit Cole's personality that you see on the mound, or the people who really have gotten to know him, tell you they all tell you that he was not somebody who looked to be afraid of coming to New York. It takes a special person to do it. You have to have certain elements of your personality and be able to do it. And you know, in the end, it seems that he—that's what he wanted. He wanted to do it.
Well, Yankee Stadium and the Yankee aura, mystique, tradition, history had to mean something to him, because what was it? before his start in the postseason at the place next door, the Bronx, as I call it, before he was to make his start in the Bronx, did he not, the day before, walk around the museum, walk around with the Monument Park, and take in the significance of wearing pinstripes and possibly, you think, playing for the Yankees?
I think it's just the idea of, you know, this is a kid who grew up as a Yankees fan. And, you know, there's this famous picture of him at the 2001 World Series as an 11-year-old kid or whatever it was, and saying Yankee fan, holding up a sign that says Yankee fan today, tomorrow, forever. And that's the picture everybody saw when they drafted him. And then when he didn't sign, it's like, what happened here? But yeah, here's a guy, you know, Aaron Boone mentioned that, you know, he knew that, Andy Pettit was Cole's favorite player growing up. So who did the Yankees take to their meeting? They took Andy Pettit. You know, who, you know, build that sense right there. And as much as a player thinks he knows the history and appreciates it, when it's standing right in front of you, and this is the guy you grew up watching and you, when you were a kid, when he was winning World Series games, there's, it just adds layers to it. But in the end, you know, 9 years, $36 million a year, that's that says a lot right there.
And so much for the luxury tax threshold.
Well, and Hal Steinbrenner didn't indicate this year that it was something that was going to hold him back. He had a couple of years ago, and that's why certain decisions were made. And that was not a secret. They made sure that that was up front. This time, they did not indicate at all that it was going to be a problem, which, again, was probably, you know, I mean, I don't think it would have been, if they didn't get Cole, I'm not sure they would have blown past luxury tax thresholds for just anybody. Mm-hmm. But they saw an opportunity here, and, you know, player and team met up at the right spot.
All right. If you have, and we're assuming the Yankees, of course, are going to make the postseason. Now, if Tanaka can stay healthy, if you have Severino reverting back to the form he missed by practically all of last year,
mm-hmm.
and if he can be the Severino that Yankee fans remember and would like to see again, then you have James Paxton, and you have Cole. Can we make the Yankees the favorites in the American League to get to the World Series?
Well, I think you're going to do that based off of who you know they are right now, and just adding Gerrit Cole. I don't know if that means anything. You know, you don't win anything in December, and you don't win anything when people pick you to finish first in March.
Right.
It's but yeah, they're listen. They were a really good team. They still are a really good team, and they just got better. So, you know, take that for what it's worth and figure out who you want to call favorites and what you're going to predict. But the Yankees are in a window where they're expecting to win, and they've had young players who have come up and made significant impacts, like Aaron Judge and like Luis Severino and like Gary Sanchez, and they have not finished off a deal winning a championship yet. If you go back in the Yankees' history, most of the great Yankees won championships very early in their careers, within the first couple of years. Even the last dynasty, you know, Derek Jeter was a rookie, Mariano Rivera was a rookie, and you know, they had two championships under their belts by the time they had 3 years in the league. Joe DiMaggio, Mickey Mantle, these guys all won championships early in their careers. Multiples. Multiples is asking a lot this day and age. It's just really hard to do given the environment that you're in. But the Yankees haven't been able to finish off a championship. They still have a window where now Judge and Sanchez are still, and Severino to a degree, just, you know, they're still relatively inexpensive compared to what they could be as they get closer to free agency. But, you know, you have, I don't say wasted's a really weird, strange word to use, but they have lost opportunities with these guys in star years, cost control years. They have lost opportunities to put championships on the board with those guys, and now they're having to do it with these guys earning more money. I mean, I guess none of that really matters if you win, but they were getting very productive years at low cost from a lot of these players, and they haven't ended up in championships the way they did early in the franchise history. And now you're just trying to keep that momentum going and build your best contending team for as long as you can possibly contend. And Gerrit Cole will go a long way towards that.
You know, it's great to be the Yankees with the cash and the money. With and they may have to pay Ellsbury. That's still pending. That's still undecided. They have Stanton to pay, and now it's going to be Cole. Those three players alone, Sweeney, would probably make for a payroll of most other teams.
Yeah, and, you know, it's kind of like at FAN when we take your salary and say, well, listen, you know, everybody else combined at the radio station equaling up to the other radio stations don't have nearly the same payroll as just Steve Summers.
Well, and I'm not surprised that Aaron Boone can imitate me also.
He does. He likes doing imitations. We established early in the show tonight when he was on that he likes listening to Ed Coleman on when he's driving around.
I heard that.
But he does not do an imitation of him. He does not do an imitation of me. I should have. He did for Maggie and Bart, right?
Yeah.
Last week. Yeah.
Yes. And he did that with apparently the portion that he heard was me talking about the New York Metropolitans.
Metropolitans, yes, or the New York Knickerbockers.
You know, well, that's the formal name, and I, as you know, I'm very formal.
Yes.
Well, by the way,
you're always wearing black. You're a very formal person.
Well, how did you know that? I haven't seen you in like a long, long time.
Has anything changed?
No.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
Let me ask you about Jay Happ. Where is he going?
Well, he's somebody that does count as depth right now, and if they can find somebody that would, you know, I think he's movable. I don't think they have to move him, but I do think he's movable. If I had to guess, I would think that, you know, they could stand with some of their other depth and give themselves some payroll relief, but, you know, that's something that they... It was get Cole first and then move on from there.
Yeah, and did you have any thoughts about whether or not, and I'm sure you did, so we could get what those thoughts might be now, about Gregorius coming back to the Yankees. Did you think at all that he might come back to the Yankees in 2020?
I didn't. There was very little indication the Yankees were seriously pursuing bringing him back, even on a one-year deal, which is what he got with the Phillies. He got 1 year at 14. And if the Yankees had any inclination to bring him back to a one-year deal, he was probably looking at a qualifying offer, and they did not offer that to him. He has a chance to reset his value. Even if he has a good year, he could get hit with a qualifying offer with the Phillies. And even if he wants to take that, he's in essence gotten himself a 2-year, $32 million deal. Mm-hmm. So it's probably better than a 3-year deal for a lot lesser value. Betting on yourself and betting on another big payday is coming if he can go back out there. Like we saw, Mike Moustakas got himself a very good deal after settling for some 1-year deals. So I think Didi, as long as he's healthy, can look at himself in a similar situation.
Before we let you go, Sweeney, with the New York Metropolitans, earlier in the evening here, we had heard at least one report that possibly the Mets were talking to the Pirates about Marte, in which Brandon Nimmo would be the principal player going to the Pirates if such a deal was made. Have you heard anything about this?
Read a similar report. I think there's when you're talking about a player and you're talking about a player whose name has been bandied about with one particular team for a long time, like the Mets and Marte have, I think there are all kinds of different combinations of players. Mm-hmm. Would not surprise me. What you're looking at, if you're Pittsburgh, you're not looking at prospects necessarily. Mm-hmm. You're trying to get major league talent that are still in that 0-3 control window and lesser cost window to headline in addition to prospects. So it would not surprise me if that is part of the asking price.
Do you have you heard anything with the Metropolitans other than what we're just talking about now? Any kind of rumorizing that you've heard regarding the Mets and any other team about, say, Rick Porcello, who's from New Jersey, with the formerly, have you heard anything along those kinds of lines, or with any other player that you and Ed have been picking up on
that they've talked. You know, Porcello is an option there. There's the look. You know, I'm wondering how high up they would be willing to go there, where the other offers are. He came off a bad year, so you know, he might be in a similar situation where if he's willing to take a 1 year deal and rebuild that value. So that's where maybe it might benefit the Mets there to fill out that rotation. But it's still a pretty significant 1 year deal. It would be, I would assume. So we'd see there. You know, there's a lot of relief options that don't come off the board so quickly, and I think that will play a big part in what, you know, really what the Mets can do, because they do have the option of Seth Lugo too to move to the rotation or leave in the bullpen, and they know that that is something that they can kind of maneuver with and tinker with depending on what else they do. And Dellin Betances, you know, we're looking at him as a guy who could possibly be a fit for the Mets because of their needs in relief.
You don't think he'll go back to the Yankees?
At this point, I don't see it right now, but, you know, again, it really depends on what he wants to do and how many other teams are out there for him. He might be looking at an incentive-laden deal. I think the Yankees are a possibility, but, you know, he also has other teams out there, and is, you know, it depends on what they're willing to go. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a shame for Dellin, because I thought he had a chance to make closer money on a multi-year deal, but, you know, he lost a year because of injury, and now he has to kind of reshuffle that and see what teams are willing to do.
All right, and finally, before we let you go, Madison Bumgarner, what's going to happen with him?
You know, the teams that have missed out on Cole and Strasburg are now lining up. You know, a lot of teams that looking for pitching, and team, you know, the Angels and Dodgers are looking for pitching now and didn't get any of these guys. The Rangers, the White Sox, the Phillies, the Reds all seem to be teams that, the Braves even perhaps, even after signing Cole Hamels, they probably don't want the commitment for Bumgarner, which is why they chose the 1 year deal for Hamels. But all these teams that were still looking for pitching that thought they might have had a chance with these guys, you know, Astros, Giants, there seem to be a lot of options out there, so we'll see where he goes.
Have you had any fish tacos in San Diego? That's one of their main foods.
I haven't yet. I had some nice barbecue across the street, which I had to almost dine and dash, but I did pay the bill as as the news was just floating in. But I've eaten. Let's just say I've eaten.
Okay, and we'll let you... We'll let you spend the rest of your night alone with your own thoughts. And we thank you for getting to the phone and giving us some inside information about Cole and everything else going on in San Diego, Sweeney.
Be back on again 6 o'clock on Wednesday night with Ed Coleman, and we'll dive more into this, I'm sure.
Okay, we'll all be listening. Take care of yourself, Sweeney.
Thanks, Steve.
You got it. Sweeney Murty in San Diego with lots of... lots of nuggets there. And again, the news, Gerrit Cole is going to be a member of the Yankees. We're talking 9 years, $324 million, coming to $36 million a year.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.